I have a dear friend who's visiting from America. That's Jack Byers, and his daughter Lily are with us just for this week. And he's been a friend and an encourager in my life for many, many years. And I can't believe he's here in Peacehaven with us. It's a joy. It's a real joy. So, as you know, last week we started a series. We're starting to look towards the Christmas season. And we started last week considering the Christmas story, the amazing drama of the redemption story of Christ. So, if you will turn to Luke, the rich book of Luke, together, Luke chapter 1. And of course, this book opens really the greatest story ever told. And it's our incredible privilege as believers to open the Word of God, to look at these passages together and believe together for the Spirit of God to quicken our hearts, lead us in a fresh personal faith this morning. Amen? So let's pray to that end. Father, we pray together. Lord, just uniting our hearts in this moment and thanking you for the privilege of being your children, of being brothers and sisters, of having this book open in our lives. And we pray for this short focus time together in your word. And we pray and ask in Jesus' name, please quicken us and speak to us. Bless our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So follow with me. We see in these opening chapters of Luke that there are certain characters that are highlighted in this redemption story surrounding the birth of Christ. We thought about Zacharias and Elizabeth last week. And now we see Mary and Joseph, and we'll see Simeon and Anna, and different people surrounding this incredible event. The book of John looks at the birth of Christ from a divine viewpoint and simply says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. But Luke gives us a view from the earth, looking through the eyes and the lives of the people surrounding the birth. And there's incredible declarations that are made by these people about Christ. And we can look at some of them together. In Luke 2, in the next chapter, in verse 33, we see it says that Joseph and the mother Mary marveled at the things that were said about the child. They were amazed at what the things that they were hearing. But think, they only had a very small picture compared to what we have. They didn't have the Gospels or the Epistles or the Book of Revelation. We see the full picture from the beginning of the redemption story and through the eyes of Revelation right to the end. If they were amazed and marveled at the things that were said, how much more should we, as New Testament believers, with the Spirit of God with us to teach us? You remember we said that there were 400 years, which we call the silent years, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The last prophetic voice in the Old Testament was Malachi, with that prophecy looking to the forerunner, the one who would come and prepare the way, namely John the Baptist. 400 years of silence where there had been no prophet, no revelation, no angel, no miracle. Just quiet waiting. And then the silence is broken when the angel appears to Zacharias in the temple. And with the promise of a miracle, an angelic appearance, and now we're going to see a flood of miracles and other angelic appearances declaring and announcing that now is the time. The prophet spoke in the Old Testament, there's been 400 silent years, and now is the time. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Incredible, incredible. And this is what we're looking at together. So let's jump in here in verse 26. Now in the 6 months, and which 6 month of that is, we remember we're thinking about Elizabeth, who was with child, in the 6 month of her pregnancy. So in the 6 month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Remember when Gabriel came to Zacharias, he said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, who has been sent to you. This is the same Gabriel that spoke to Daniel about 500 years ago with the incredible revelation of the end times. Gabriel sent with these amazing announcements, and he appeared to Zacharias, and now 6 months later, he appears to Mary. He's sent from heaven to the earth, to this little town, to this little house, to this young lady, Mary. He's going to speak to her these incredible truths. And Nazareth is the place, of course, where Jesus would grow up. It's the Galilee is the place where he ultimately will have his public ministry. Right after Jesus is baptized, he will come back to Nazareth. He will open the scriptures. He will open the prophet Isaiah and say, this day is fulfilled, which is spoken of me. Nazareth. When Nathanael heard about the Messiah coming from Nazareth, he said, remember in John 1, we studied it, he said, can anything good come from Nazareth? 3 verses later, he is saying, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God. Nathanael was one of the 7 witnesses in the book of John who made affirmation that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, who came from Nazareth. Verse 27, and he came to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. You'll notice there's no commendation with Mary. It doesn't say that she was righteous or living in the faith, or as it did with Zacharias and Elizabeth, remember? It said in verse 6 that they were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances, blameless. It doesn't say that about Mary. And I think the reason is because God wanted it to be clear and sure that this didn't happen to Mary because of any reason other than his grace upon her. She was to find amazing grace, immense grace in the redemptive plan of God. Verse 28, this is what the angel says right off the bat. Having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you, and you are blessed among women. He didn't say, Hail Mary, full of grace, as often the prayer that many of us maybe have heard in different places. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, Hail Mary, full of grace. He says, he greets Mary and says, you have found grace. You are the object of grace. Because, of course, she was unworthy. She was a sinner just like anyone else. Mary cannot give grace. She cannot hear your prayers this morning. Neither can any of the saints that have gone on. She was a sinner who found great grace. As the angel says, O favored one. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what type of greeting this was. In other words, why on earth is this angel appearing to me and telling me that I have found grace and telling me that the Lord is with me? She wondered at what he was saying. In verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. And he says it again, for you have found grace with God. And we find it interesting. He said, do not be afraid. I wonder why he said that. Because she was afraid. This was the standard greeting of an angel meeting a human being. Do not fear. This is what he said. Do not fear because you have found amazing grace. Again, reflecting on that truth, that she was the object of his grace. And here begins the announcement, verse 31. This is why Gabriel sent from heaven to the earth to meet Mary in this moment on the incredible timeline of God for his plan for the redemption of men. And here is the announcement, verse 31. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And of course, this is echoing Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy from 700 years before where Isaiah said, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. And here Gabriel says to her, you are the virgin of Isaiah 7:14. You are the virgin who will bring forth a son. Oh, what great grace is upon you. And he says, you will call his name Jesus. And this is the first thing we want to highlight from this announcement. His name was Jesus, which literally means the Lord is salvation. Isn't it incredible that in the name given, all such meaning of why he came, the whole heartbeat and purpose of redemption, the Lord is salvation, the Lord saves. That's why he came. Right? Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. This is what is declared to the shepherds. Unto you a Savior is born. He was born to save. In Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. And this season we're going to sing a lot of carols. Do you remember the time perhaps when you sang the carols and they didn't really mean anything to you? You celebrated Christmas kind of blindly. I do. And becoming a believer, all of a sudden the words and the meaning and the richness, particularly of the old, the hymns of old, 100, 200 years ago, those hymns with such incredible theology and doctrine and meaning in them. For example, remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Or Christ the Savior is born. Or joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And that happened to us. Praise the Lord. Verse 32, the angel goes on and says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. In what way will he be great? He is the Son of the Highest. Verse 35 echoes it and says he is the Son of God. This baby was divine. Again, to echo John, it was God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh, the mystery of godliness. This baby was divine. This is what we celebrate and believe and focus on this morning. When we celebrate Christmas, we do it with understanding and faith and rejoicing in our heart because we understand who he was and why he came. Was God manifest in the flesh, clothing his deity with humanity, being born as a man that he might die for men. Luke lays it out in these couple of chapters that this baby was not only the Son of Man, which is Jesus' favorite title of himself, but also the Son of God. What does it mean, the Son of God? You know, in John 5, in John chapter 5, let me just digress for a moment. When Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he said this. He says, my Father works and I also work. And then they wanted to stone him. And he said, for what work do you stone me? And they said, not for any work that you have done, but that you, calling God your Father, make yourself equal with God. Now notice that. When Jesus made claim that God was his Father, they understood that he was making claim that he was equal with God, and he certainly was. So therefore they wanted to stone him for that. The rest of chapter 5, he goes on, 11 times he says, my Father, my Father, my Father. And 8 times he says, I'm the Son, I'm the Son, I'm the Son. To make the point, yes, God is my Father. In John 10:30, when Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I remember witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness on the street one time, and he said, oh, that just means that they had unity, that they were one with each other. I said, well, why is it that the next verse says they wanted to stone him? And he said, why do you stone me? And they said, because you being a man, make yourself God. When he said, I and my Father are one, that was a direct claim to deity. People say, well, did Jesus ever claim to be God? Yes. Every time he said my Father, and every time he said the Son, was a claim, a rightful claim to his deity. So it was the Lord who came. Jesus was divine. Again, we sing this in the carols. Let me give you a few lines. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Yes, Lord, we greet you on this happy morn. Come adore with bended knee Christ, the Lord. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Oh, the Christians of old, it was a clear doctrinal truth that they understood and declared and rejoiced in, that God had become a man. Here's another carol. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead we see, hail incarnate deity. Oh, come with us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. And the last one here. In Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name, Jesus, Lord at your birth. Let's continue verse 32. Notice it says at the end of that verse, the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Now notice this. His name is Jesus, that's Savior, the Son of the Highest, that he's God. And now he says that he is King. And this verse, by the angel Gabriel, is a direct reference back to what we call the Davidic covenant that was made with to Solomon and his seed in 2 Samuel 7. That the seed of David, through his seed, there would be the Messiah who would reign and his kingdom would be forever. It's in the great prophecy of Daniel 7:14 where it says that he would receive a kingdom and his kingdom would be eternal. Not only a literal kingdom on the earth to be fulfilled, the 1,000-year reign of Revelation 20, but an eternal kingdom forever. That's what the angel is saying here. What a wonder. What an amazing wonder this morning. Oh, that he is the Savior, that he is the Lord, that he is the King. Remember in Matthew 2, when the Magi came, this was the question they had. Where is he born, the King of the Jews? And it says, of his kingdom there will be no end. Here's some other carols to that end. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Come adore with bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Born a king in Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over the world to reign. Let's go on, verse 34. And then Mary responds, and she says to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? Someone asked last week, it's a very good question, why is it that Zacharias, when he asked the question, was struck dumb and deaf until the birth of John the Baptist? Because he questioned Gabriel, but it doesn't happen to Mary. And the answer we can understand is that when Mary asked the question, she didn't ask it out of unbelief. She was believing. She just wanted to know how it would happen. We know that because in verse 38, she says, let it be according to your word. And when she visits Elizabeth, Elizabeth says to her, in verse 43, blessed is she who believes, for it shall be accomplished what has been promised. So when Mary responded and asked this question to the angel, she had faith in her heart. It was a real question. How will this happen? For I have not known a man. How will I conceive and give birth to a son if I've not known a man? That was her question. So the angel answers her question. Verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God." He answers her and says, "You will give birth to a child, but he will not be the son of a man. He will not be the son of Joseph. He will be the Son of God. He will be conceived in you miraculously by the Spirit of God." And notice it says, "The Holy One that is to be born will be called the Son of God." So what are we saying? Savior, Lord, King, and Holy One. Which of course was one of the things that qualified him to be our Savior, that he was without sin. He was the spotless Lamb. In Hebrews 4:15, he had no sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, fulfilling the wonderful type of the Lamb that was to be without spot. He was the spotless Lamb who was born holy and went to the cross as our sacrifice. It's an incredible announcement, isn't it? That there will be a child, a virgin-born child, a Savior, who is God, who is sovereign, who is holy. Look at verse 36. The angel continues and says, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren." This is a sign that is given to encourage Mary in her situation, how incredibly overwhelming and hard to accept that would be what she heard from the angel. So the angel says, "Listen, this will help you. This will be a sign for you. This will encourage you. You go to Elizabeth. She is in the sixth month where she is going to give birth in her old age." Who would believe Mary? Elizabeth would. Zacharias definitely would, though he wouldn't be able to say very much, sitting quietly in the corner. But they would believe her. So he says this as an encouragement for her. He said, "You don't need to wonder about it. You can go and visit her." So this is what she did. She will do. And he says in verse 37, "For God is nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38, Mary said, "Oh, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Oh, and again we see her simple faith expressed. And listen, this is all that God is looking for in a believer's life. This is all that the gospel is looking for. To the lost, sinful man who is lost in his sins, the gospel just says, "Oh, if you would simply believe in a moment, then salvation will be fulfilled in your life in a moment of faith, simple faith. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that whoever believes will have eternal life." Romans 1:16, "For this is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel, for whoever" what? "Believes." And this is Mary's response. She says, "Oh, let it be according to your word." Or in other words, amen. That's all. Just a bullet in the heart of amen. Just like Abraham, when he looked up at the stars, and in the Hebrew he says, "Aman," or "Amen." Amen to the gospel that was in the Abrahamic covenant, that through your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham said, "Amen." And Mary said, "Amen." Verse 39, "So Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste." Notice that. She went quickly She wanted to see for herself and to be with Elizabeth. How crucial this time would have been for her to be with an older lady, a mature believer who could encourage her in her faith, tell her this story about her husband and the angel and the promise of John the Baptist. And then verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We read this phrase through these opening chapters, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said or she said. We read it of Elizabeth, of Zacharias, of Simeon. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, they said, and they say these incredible announcements of who Christ is. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 42, she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now imagine this young teenage girl going through this overwhelming experience. Having heard this incredible announcement, she then goes to Elizabeth. And this is the greeting. Oh, blessed. Blessed are you among women. Which is effectively what Gabriel had said. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Verse 43, she goes on. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother of my Lord. This is a divine title. This is an amazing claim that by the Spirit of God, Elizabeth could understand that this was God in the flesh. Verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes. Oh, and we could say that this morning. Blessed is anyone who believes. Remember when Thomas wasn't there at the resurrection? He says, oh, I don't believe. And then he had to wait a whole week until he saw the Lord himself. And then he also, one of the witnesses of John, said, oh, you are my God and my Lord. And Jesus said to him, oh, you believe because you see, Thomas. But blessed are those who believe who have not seen. You know who that's speaking of? That's speaking of you. Blessed are you who have believed without seeing, that you have believed by faith, and you are blessed. Oh, do you realize that, how blessed we are to be Christians, to be believers, to have this book open in our life, to have the Spirit of God, to have a living faith, to have brothers and sisters, to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to have a relationship with the living God, to have an assurance of our salvation. Oh, we are so blessed. In the word blessed is the idea to be envied. You would look at someone who is blessed and you would say, oh, how envious is their life that they would be blessed like that. And that's us. By His incredible grace, we can say, oh, I am blessed. I am so blessed. And she says, verse 43, oh, we read that. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord will come to me, and the babe leapt in the womb? Verse 44, blessed is she who believed. And we'll just close by reading these verses of Mary's final song of praise. Verse 46, and Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary is often magnified above just a woman. But here she says, God, my Savior. Oh, she so clearly understood that she was not worthy. It wasn't because she was holy or something. But she was a sinner who needed grace. And she said, oh, God, my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and His name is holy. We understand she was blessed. That's what we're saying this morning. Amazing grace given to her. Verse 50, and His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And then she concludes with this amazing statement, verse 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now don't miss this. This is an incredible recognition by the Spirit of God in this moment that God had not forgotten his covenant that he made to Abraham 2,000 years before. Here it says, oh, God has remembered his mercy. And the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, hesed, sometimes translated loving kindness or steadfast love. It is a covenant love that God expressed to his people. He said, oh, I will never lose you. I will never leave you. You will be my people. And his covenant to Abraham was unconditional. Remember? In Genesis 12, he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. All the way through the covenant. It was an unconditional covenant that he would fulfill. And it involved the land and the seed and the what? The blessing. The blessing. And when the Lord said to Abraham, in through you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And that was looking to the birth of Christ and the death of Christ. It was looking to the person of the Christ, the work that he would accomplish on the cross. When the Lord said to Abraham, look at the stars, and you, so shall your seed be, referring to the spiritual seed, as well as God blessing and multiplying the physical seed of the Jewish people, there will be the spiritual seed of all those who would believe in him who would come. And they would be given a name, and their name would be blessed. Blessed because we have believed. Amen. Let it be, or we believe it, just as the scripture has said, that he has remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. The Messiah would come, and he would bring the blessing of salvation to all nations, to the Koreans, to the English, to the Americans, to the Indians, to the Africans, to all nations. The blessing of salvation has come through Christ to whoever believes. And that's the gospel. And we sing about that. We celebrate with faith and understanding. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every heart prepare him room. Or the King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. So Father, we thank you for this passage and the amazing declaration of this baby that would be born, that oh, he was the Savior, that he was God in the flesh, that he was the King, that he was holy without sin, and that he would bring a blessing of salvation to all those that would believe. And perhaps there's someone here this morning, you are not sure of your personal salvation, or perhaps you're listening to this message on the internet today. Oh, he is the Savior. And in this moment, just express faith in your heart and say this prayer in your own words. Oh, Jesus, save me today. I believe you love me and you died on the cross for me. And I ask you to be my personal Savior. Thank you for saving me today by grace through faith. And for each one of us here, oh, we are so thankful for our faith today. For the hope that you give us, the joy that you give us, the purpose that we have in our life. We know our life would be so lacking without you. Oh, to know you, to walk with you, what a privilege. We can all say of ourselves and one another, oh, blessed, you are blessed. I am blessed because of Christ in my life. What an unspeakable privilege. What amazing grace. What an incredible blessing that we have as believers today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you quicken our hearts again and again and again by your word and by your spirit, that you bring us again and again into a living faith. For our soul cleaves to the dust, but you quicken us according to your word, that we are looking to you, believing you, trusting you. And we pray for one another this morning in this assembly. You know the needs and the struggles and the challenges. You know the prayers and the desires, the temptations, the weaknesses. Or we come to you as a body of, as a local church this morning, ask for your supply, the sufficiency of your grace in our personal lives and in our church. Help us and bless us. And we pray for this Christmas season, oh, that many would come to know you as they would hear the gospel. Oh, and use us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's have the worship team come up, and let's just like the Magi, when they came to the manger, they came to what? They came to worship him. And let's worship him in this closing song together. Shall we stand? Let's stand up together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just close our eyes for a moment and focus our hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we sing this song of praise with a full heart of thankfulness this morning. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.